talk is going to, I'm going to give you, it's about ClickNF. So it's basically a modular stack for building network functions inside Click. So traditionally, in network and edge packet processing devices have been always implemented in hardware and, particularly designed for peak rates. So, however, today we are observing this path with which we are moving all those services, being in network or at the edge, we are moving them in the cloud so that we have more flexibility, so we can launch new instances of the service on the flight when we need, we can tear down when we don't need them. So the question that we ask ourselves is the following. So we are doing this in a monolithic way, in the sense that we are basically transposing the functions that we had. We are moving them inside virtual machines or containers. So we are moving them in boxes. Despite, I mean, all the serverless field of research is trying to change that. So the question again is, can we build a modular network stack so that we can compose our network functions by putting together some very basic elements that combine together, bring our desired functionality? And can we do this without sacrificing performance? So the first thing that came to our mind when thinking about this problem was Click. So Click is already modular and have already some functionalities that we that are desirable for our goal. So before diving into the presentation, let me give you a brief introduction of Click for those of you that doesn't know. So Click, it's basically a modular software router. So with Click, you can build a modular software router. So here you have an example of a very simple configuration in Click. So you have five elements that receives packet on one side and send them on the other side. So the elements are connected through directed edges that indicates how the packets flows inside the graph. There are some elements that are special, like the from device or to device. They are special because they have something that that is called in Click terminology tasks. So the tasks can be scheduled by the Click scheduler, so they are the minimal amount of job that a module can give to the Click scheduler in order to be scheduled. So in Click, you have two different types of communications between modules, so push and pull. So the push, it's this. So you have a packet, for example, that is received in NIC. It's bring up in the in Click by the from device. And then the packet is pushed downstream and modified accordingly. So it can modify internal counters, like, for example, here in the counter element, it can increment a particular variable. Or it can be stored here, for example, in the middle in the queue. And then when everything is finished, so the task return and a next task can be scheduled. The other way of communication or of communicating is pull. So basically, on the other side here, you can see the to device element that at a certain point is ready for transmitting. It pulls packet from the upstream elements, and then when it reaches some packet that is stored, for example, here in the queue, the task returns and the packets are traverse the pipeline here and they are modified accordingly if needed. So Click, as I said before, has some desirable features for what we want to do. So it's already modular. You have some modules that you can combine together, as I explained before. It is programmable and reprogrammable, so you can reprogram the Click graph on the flight. It is already multi-threading. It is kernel space, user space, and it has been recently enhanced with the fast packet input output, even if we have our own fast packet input output element. On the contrary, there are some missing features that we need for building a complete network stack, starting from modular network stack, starting from layer 2 to layer 7. So it's missing transport, so you cannot terminate a TCP connection. There are some missing features for having a very high packet input-output in Cyclic. It's basically non-blocking, meaning that the tasks that I briefly described you before are basically run to completion. So they start to process a packet until the packet is either stored or forwarded outside of the Cyclic router. And it's not, and the applications are not modular, so basically you cannot have applications inside Cyclic. So this is basically the design. So here at the right, you can see the design of CLICKNF. So compared with against kernel space stack and user space stack. So the difference between those three approaches is that our approach tries to be modular, starting from the very end of the network stack figure up to layer 7, so up to application layers. So here with the very small blue numbers, you can see the different parts in which we modified or added something to Cyclic in order to bring the full modularity layer 2, layer 7 that I've been mentioning all the talk. So first, at the very bottom, we have an high-speed packet input-output element. So basically, it's a DPDK element. So it reuses DPDK. For those of you that doesn't know DPDK, DPDK is basically a framework that allows you to bring packets very rapidly from the NIC directly into the memory in user space of the machine running DPDK. So this module has been tested with 10 or also 40 gigabit per second NICs. It basically pulls packet and fetch them inside user space Cyclic and wrap those DPDK packets directly inside Cyclic and push them along the Cyclic graph. So we also added the usage of hardware offloading that are available on basically every NIC that you can buy on the market. So hardware offloading such as hardware flow control, IP checksum, TCP checksum, and others that are not mentioned here. Specifically to TCP, that are, for example, TCP segmentation floating and those kind of hardware floating. Then we also have multi-core, so basically by exploiting received side scaling that allows you to split the flows on the different receive queue of the NIC, you receive packet and assign them to the different cores. More in particular, in order to avoid locking inside our CLICKNF framework, we dedicate data structures to different cores so that whenever a flow arrives, it goes to its core and all the data structures are there so that you don't need to lock the memory and wait for the memory to be free in order to access it. Second, on the second layer, we added the Cyclic TCP version. So this is very huge, but it's a very small part of the TCP stack. So the Cyclic TCP, it's compliant with standards. It only have one flavor of TCP, not many flavors as described in the previous talk. It supports TCP options, round-trip time estimation, and it basically implements TCP New Reno as the congestion control. So here at the very top, you for sure cannot read, but there is the TCP flow lookup element that basically looks up in the TCP control block hash table. It associates a pointer to the metadata of the data of the packet, so that other modules down the line don't have to access again the hash table and slowing down the processing of the packet. So those four basically represents four different states of TCP. There is basically in the leftmost it for you, it's the connected state. Then we have TCP send, sync send, TCP listen and TCP closed. And basically all those here connects to the other ones, but I choose to keep them separate because it's already complicated. So other elements may communicate among them by using annotations and flags, as the one that I briefly described before. So another missing thing was blocking input-output. So basically, when you can imagine when you write an application of declaring a socket and then calling listen and then receive or accept some calls that are blocking. So this was not possible in Qlik because the tasks, as I said to you before, are run to completion. So what we added here, it's basically a new kind of task that is backward compatible with the standard or legacy Qlik tasks. Those are called blocking tasks with pretty much fantasy. So those tasks basically can yield the CPU so that in the middle of their execution, they save the registers of the CPU. The Qlik scheduler can schedule other tasks in the meanwhile. And for example, those other tasks in the meanwhile, they receive a packet or some event occurs. The blocking task was waiting for those events. Then this task wakes up the other task that has been scheduled, wake up the blocking task, and the blocking task, when it's his turn, by the decided by the Qlik scheduler, it represents the normal processing of the task from where it left. So here we have an example, so a comparison between regular and blocking tasks. So here at the beginning you see normal tasks in the different elements, so dark elements. You receive packet, push packets on the other element, and so on and so forth. So at a certain point, a particular function is called, like Qlik receive, that stands for receive of for normal sockets. This task cannot complete its execution because it doesn't have any packet to deliver to the application. It yields the CPU. Eventually, as I said before, some other task is scheduled. It receives the packet, and then at the end, it wakes up the other task. That is put again in the queue of the scheduler, and when it's his turn, the Qlik scheduler will run this task. So finally, we also enable application modularity by providing four basic building blocks. There are the first two that are TCP EPL server and EPL client that basically hides the complexity of socket input output to the application. And two examples for, giving an example of what can be useful for application in order to be modular, like SSL server and SSL client that can terminate secure connection. So here on the right, you have a very basic example of an ECO server that basically replies to ECO back the messages received by the clients using the TCP EPL server. Application layer elements communicates with building blocks by using, again, metadata. So, for example, they communicate if they receive a new socket, hey, I have a new socket, you have to act accordingly in your application, so doing whatever you think it's needed. And basically, we can simply insert a new module here in order to make this server secure. So you can see that thanks to the Qlik structure, having a modular application, it's very flexible. You can easily modify your application even on the fly. So some experimental results. So we use basically three machines that are that have 40 cores and 60 gigabytes of RAM. Intel NICs that are very, even if they're old, they're very standard NICs, 10 gigabit Ethernet NICs. We used Ubuntu 16.10, the last version of Qlik, and the PDK 17.02, and the PDK traffic generator. So though we had two different type of tests, so micro benchmarks and application, and I'll give you a brief overview of three of them. So first of all, here we have four Qlik configurations. So the first one with no input output. So basically the packet is generated inside Qlik and directly discarded inside Qlik. And we add a number of push null element that basically are element that receives the packet from one side and send them on the other side without doing anything in order to evaluate the cost of modularity. The other three examples are, can be understood from their name. They are transmission, so you only transmit, you only receive, or you forward the packet from one side to the other side. And we test this with the PDK traffic generator to send 64-byte packet with increasing number of elements. So you can see here on the bottom left of the slide, the maximum amount of throughput that we can have, it's 40 million packets per second without input-output, while when you add the input-output, the processing is capped at 14.88 million packets per second. That is basically the line rate. While adding the number, increasing number of elements, you can see that the performance decreases. But if you, this can be solved if you apply what's called batch processing. So if you process a batch of packets instead of processing a single packet per each element, you can sensibly increase those results, improve the results. So this is, again, the EcoServer example that I explained to you before. So basically, clients connect to the EcoServer. They send a message. The server echo back the message. And then the clients reset the connection. So we compared those results with increasing number of cores, and we compared them with MTCP, that is basically a state-of-the-art user space TCP stack. You can see from the graph that we scale well with the number of cores. Disclaimer, don't ask me why MPTCP goes down to 5 and 10, but it's like that. It has also been shown in another paper. And you can see on the black solid line, it's the one in which we apply compute batching, so we scale better. I mean, we are slightly better than user space, despite the fact that we have the flexibility of the modularity. So finally, here it's an application, the SOX4 proxy. So basically, you can see here the usage of two building blocks that I briefly introduced you before, and you have a single module for SOX4 proxy. But you can imagine, I mean, I did this for simplicity, but you can imagine of extending it for multiple elements. So those are the results for clients connecting to the proxy and the proxy connecting to the server with increasing number of cores and increasing number of increasing page size. Sorry. You can see here that on the left graph there is the good put, so we can reach approximately line rate with a reasonably small page sizes, and moreover, thanks to the flexibility given by our framework and given by Qlik in general, you can imagine of adding SSL TLS elements here in order to secure one or both legs of the SOX4 proxy. So to conclude, Qlik NF enable us to compose a custom and modular network function, both end host, air, and in network. It have good scaling properties, also compared against state-of-the-art user space network stack. It is flexible thanks to Qlik, again, and it is open source, so you can go play and complain with me when something doesn't work. Thank you for the internet for listening.
Questions?
Eddie Kohler, Harvard. This is very impressive. If you had to do it again, would you split TCP up into 60 elements?
Sorry?
If you had to do it again, would you split TCP up into 60 elements? Or would you have, like, maybe two?
Why two?
That's the question. I mean, if you have two elements, and there's literally never a reason to put another element in between them, or to have them, to use one of them in a context where the other one is not used, then, you know, there's a sort of a, it's an aesthetic choice. So this isn't meant to be an aggressive question. Either way.
At the beginning, we had it in few elements. I think it was 10 or something. But at the end, we choose to split it in many elements because, I mean, you have the flexibility of, you can also remove some elements when you don't need, I think it's easier to follow from the graph. Even if it's bigger, you can easily identify what a module does, and so it's in the spirit of Qlik, right? So you know better than me.
Thanks, that's great.
So just following up on Eddie's question, given that you have 60 elements to represent a TCP implementation.
I didn't count precisely, but...
Okay, but like a lot of elements. How many TCP variants could you represent by just playing around?
Sorry?
How many different TCP variants, like DC, TCP, Nureno, Cubic, etc., could you represent by just moving a few of those elements around?
So the elements that you probably have to touch are, I would say, 10 in order to change the flavor of the TCP congestion control. So it's very easy, 10 or even less, it's very easy to change because the elements that deal with congestion control are very, very few, not much. The rest, it's for supporting TCP option, building the packet, and so on and so forth, keeping up with the hash table, so...
All right, let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.